Welcome back. I still have Factor 9213 Nigeria. In phone, her input, Harcourt. I'm Dio. It's 14 minutes gone past 4 o'clock. Discussions continue. Thanks for staying tuned. We turn to the cable right now that has the story. Serap, ICC to investigate abduction of school children in Nigeria. Now, on September, now the Social Economic Rights and Accountability Project, Serap, says Karim Khan, prosecutor at the International Criminal Court, has agreed to investigate the cases of abduction of school children in Nigeria. On September 16, Serap petitioned Khan, asking him to investigate the incessant cases of abduction of school children in northern Nigeria, noting that depriving children their right to education has severe consequences on their ability to access their fundamental rights. Now, kidnapping in schools, particularly in the northern region, has become rampant in the country. The cable had reported that at least 821 students were abducted within the first 8 months of 2021. According to a statement by Kolawole Oluwa, Deputy Director at Serap, the advocacy group received a response from the petition for Mark P. Dillian, Head of Information and Evidence Unit, on behalf of the ICC prosecutor. Now, the criteria for opening an investigation into a string of abductions and closure of schools in some parts of Nigeria have been met. Now, although there is an investigation, will start as soon as the prosecutor gets authorization from the pre-trial chamber of the court, noting that this is a significant step towards exposing those responsible for grave crimes against Nigerian children. Quote, the severe and lifelong harms that result from depriving children the right to education satisfy the gravity of harm threshold under the Rome Statute, end of quote. Now, several talking points, no doubt about that. But should the ICC be investigating the abduction of school children in northern Nigeria? What exactly is the ICC investigating? Who exactly is the ICC investigating? And to what end will this investigation be? These and other related matters we're discussing in this hour. And joining me via phone, Deputy Director with Serap, Kolawole Oluwa Dare. Kola, good evening to you. You're welcome to Hard Facts. Let's start with how the ICC works. What exactly is the ICC, and can the ICC just pick up any matter, no matter how random, anywhere in the world, and simply conduct an investigation? Is that how it works?
Thank you very much, Daniel. So the ICC, called the International Criminal Court, is created by what is called the Rome Statute. It took its name from the location of the treaty in 1998. Basically, to convene a sort of an adjudicating body that would have jurisdictions over genocide and war crimes across countries all over the world. Presently, as of 2019, we have more than 123 signatories. The status of Rome, that is, countries have ratified and signed on to the jurisdiction of the ICC. And Nigeria signed on to that in September 2001. So it's beyond the doubt that Nigeria is subject to the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. And the International Criminal Court only has jurisdiction against individuals, not against states, as it were. And the ICC has been over 40 offenses, genocide, crimes against humanity, among other crimes. And so within the context of what we are talking about presently, which is born out of the abductions of students in Nigeria, particularly in the northeast and the northwest, and the deprivation of access to education in this instance, which of course qualifies as crimes against humanity under Article 7 of the Rome Statute, is the basis of what our complaint to the International Criminal Court. Currently, the events, the abductions in Nigeria, and the failure of the Nigerian state to either prevent those attacks and abductions and to prevent those who are behind it.
Why the ICC, Kola? Why the ICC? Why is there a petition there?
Because one of the requirements that would activate the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court is that public officials who have been statutory duty in those countries or states have refused or have demonstrated an incapacity to take steps to stop those crimes against humanity. And you would agree with me that the Nigerians have failed so far, either to prevent the abductions or to bring those who have been culpable, or to even find anyone culpable or to bring them to book. And most importantly, to grant children in Nigeria access to education. Over 1.3 million students presently in the north have been denied access to education, and with over several hundreds of schools shut in the north as we speak. And that you would understand would only add to the over 13 million out of 6 million in Nigeria, which costs a concern across Africa as we speak.
Mm.
And so that is why we wrote that complaint to the ICC. And the good news is that there are several layers, several steps to these kind of action by the International Criminal Court. So the first thing is that the prosecutor appointed by the International Criminal Court looks at the complaint and does what is called like a preliminary investigation. Whether the complaint itself has any merit for him to investigate, which he has done. That Anand Khan, and he responded that Sarah's complaint has passed the first stage. He has looked at the complaint and the past abuse and believes it is cause for him to investigate. The second step, which according to the letter that he wrote to us, was he will now apply to the pre-trial chamber comprising of three judges, asking for their authorization to carry out investigations, that is formal investigations now. And those investigations, they include subjects you don't create with your discretion. This is in Nigeria, collecting evidence, speaking to victims and actors, non-state actors and state actors, across all spectrums, to identify whether there has been a wrong, whether there have been acts that we would call crimes against humanity, those who are culpable, and those who have the statutory duty in each of these states to act using the instrumentality of the law to either prevent their facts or to apprehend those who are behind it. And naturally, to show that they have failed to exercise those powers to prevent the attacks and to stop the attacks. You should understand that the basis of all this is to stop the attacks. And when I mean attacks, I mean
We'll come back to the basis and the point of it in a moment. But and so far, it does seem like you provided the answer to the question I'm about to ask you. But I'd like you to elaborate somewhat. What will the ICC be investigating exactly? And here is why I'm asking this. This is a crime, no doubt about that. You say it's a crime against humanity. It very well may be that. But it's a crime nonetheless that's been committed by these bandits or kidnappers or abductors, as the case might be. But then again, like any other crime, crime is rampant in our society. Crime is rampant in every other. You have crime everywhere. So how is this crime different from crime happening any other place and which happens every other place for that matter? What exactly is ICC investigating here? Because once again, crime happens everywhere.
What you call like a normal crime, if I can call it that, a random crime. And this qualifies as crimes against humanity, looking at the victims and the scale of those attacks. I told you that more than 1.3 million children in the north alone are out of school, have been deprived of access to education. That's one. Secondly, access to education, they are in our law, that section 17 and 18 of the Constitution. It makes it obligatory on state authority to protect and advance the sanctity of human life and to provide education opportunities across borders, across all levels for Nigeria. So it means there are laws that compel government to do this. And so the question is, the abduction and the kidnappings of children from schools and the closure of those schools, can they be said to be in conformity with the statutory duties of those who hold sway in Nigeria as government officials? Of course, the answer is a no. And so what activates the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court is the nature of the crime in this instance affecting the youth and the young children. and the sheer scale of it. I've told you that we have more than 13 million out of school children in Nigeria alone. So when you compound the closure of schools and the effect it's going to have in the next 2-3 years, we are not talking, we are creating a very big platform to even increase, make sure the state, because the region is working, which is what makes it a crime against humanity. Given that there are laws that create statutory obligations on public officials in Nigeria to prevent this kind of crime, and that huge sums of money, by the way, are located at security vault for individuals, for possibly to prevent this kind of crime from happening. And so, to answer your question as to what the International Criminal Court, starting with the procedure, is meant to do, as long as the major objective for Seraph's complaint remains, that the adoption should stop, that is one. Number two, those who are the perpetrators of the abductions, or those who are the sympathizers or support or sponsors, should be apprehended. That's second. Number three, they should face justice. That's number three. And then fourthly, victims of these crimes against humanity must be compensated. So in the investigation by the prosecutor, if he's able to identify the prosecutors, the perpetrators of those abductions, that is fine, that would be a good outcome. But it should not stop there. Of course, the abductions will stop. Then make sure that state authorities and individuals who have the capability to prevent these crimes and to apprehend these criminals must do their job and also face a meeting for complicity, if not actively, but for being passive in carrying out their duty.
Oh, it is Hard Fact 91.3 Nigeria Info and Herring Potaka. Terab ICC to investigate abduction of school children in Nigeria. Find details in the cable. I'm speaking with Kola Oluluwa, Deputy Director with Terab. He joined me via phone. However, a quick commercial break, or not so quick maybe, we'll go for it. We'll return in a moment. The conversation will continue. You can join in via the usual platforms for the moment via facebook.com/ Nigeria Info PH, WhatsApp on 0809 030 641. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Information is a two-way thing. Nigeria Info, it's your turn. Let's talk.
And now, Hard Facts. Hard Facts with Dio.
Welcome back. Still Hard Factor 91.3 Nigeria Info and Herring Port Harcourt. I'm Dio. Conversation does continue. Serap, ICC to investigate abduction of school children in Nigeria. A story is called to the cable. I'm sure you can find similar versions of that story or other versions in other dailies. Well, Serap says Karim Khan, prosecutor at the International Criminal Court, has agreed to investigate the cases of abduction of school children in Nigeria. My gosh, this is Kola Oluluwa, Deputy Director with Serap. This your mate via phone. Kola, you're welcome once again.
Thank you, Dad.
So before the break, I asked you what exactly will the ICC be investigating. You did reply to that. But in the course of our conversation, you also mentioned much earlier on that the ICC does not investigate states. The ICC investigates individuals. So as far as this matter is concerned, who exactly will the ICC be investigating?
The details of that investigation is actually left to the prosecutor, who plays a central role. And that is, if he gets the authorization of the pretrial chamber, he will decide who to speak with, who are allowed to gather the facts that he needs. But within that general framework is that he is looking at the perpetrators of those abductions, of what is crime against humanity, public officials who have the duty to prevent and to apprehend the perpetrators. Those are the ultimate group is looking at, whether they are state actors or non-state actors, it does not matter. But in course, we naturally know that in the nature of the situation, he has a wide range of issues, including victims themselves. But he will be able to identify ultimately. And of course, we will work within the Nigerian legal framework and the international treaties that Nigeria has signed on to. in doing this. Who should be responsible for those statutory duties?
Did Serap identify any individual specifically in your petition?
No, we did not.
Okay, also, talking about to what end all of this is, you identified a while ago as well that it is to ensure the abductions stop, to ensure that the children can go back to school, the schools are reopened, to ensure that people who are guilty of any infractions are punished, to ensure compensation to victims as well. So I'm going to ask this. Does the ICC really have such powers to, you said, to ensure the perpetrators or those found wanting are punished? Does the ICC have this power to punish persons? And because people are going to be investigated, people are going to have to be asked questions, interrogated. Are the people in Nigeria, especially state actors, do they have to obey any summons of the ICC or respond to any questions of the ICC?
And if they do not,
what happens?
There are special mechanisms for dealing with that, including the use of the security cards and resolutions to compel obedience. But Nigeria ratified the IC, the Rome Statute, in 2001, and eventually it was in 2003. Out of the 103 states that signed them to that. So we are bound, it's an international obligation that we are bound to do, and in the committee of nations, these kind of treaties are not taken lightly. So there is no reason why any state actor would not submit to the jurisdiction of the ICC in this regard.
Okay, how are we certain that this is going to put a stop to the abductions?
So far, the state and other states and the Nigerian authorities are not able to either put a stop to the abductions or prevent it. And so we're hoping that this international mechanism will fare better and work. And ultimately, like I've said, Dyer, if they stop the abduction and allow students to go back to school, that's fine. That's great. That's what we all want. So it's a good thing, ultimately. And we are very certain. If we do not believe in a system, we don't have subjected to the legal framework of international justice. And that's why we believe so much in the process. In the Nigerian government, we have done nothing. We have to look up to this international justice mechanism to get redress for those wrongs and ultimately to stop the abduction.
All right, you're welcome to join the conversation right now. If you will, via the usual platforms, got any comments or questions, let's hear it. Numbers to call 0817-93-0002 or 0003 or 0007. We're live on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH, live on YouTube as well. WhatsApp is on 0809-030. Any comments or questions, want to get on the matter at hand? Let's hear it at this time. Please keep your calls brief and straight to the point, and course want to call it answer to turn down the volume of fuel radio, so it's expedient that to do so, else we cannot have a conversation. Let's see. OT Power on Facebook goes, oh yes, let's see what comes out of it. Okay, I'm sure we're all anxious to see that. And via WhatsApp, Sid, is it like let ICC investigate Buhari's government? No action will be taken and nobody will be indicted. That's OVA from Bud Harcourt. But you're optimistic, caller, from your state comments earlier on. You're definitely, and I believe Serap as an institution, is definitely more optimistic than OVA is, right?
Yes, we are. Like I've stated time and again on this program, Dyer, we cannot fight for justice with illegality. It doesn't work. It can't help. So what we've done with this is to explore the international justice mechanism. Because we've seen it work, we've also believed in it. And because we believe that is the only love that we have. And that is what we achieve. If we don't believe in that system, we will not have subjected ourselves to it. All we can do now is to hope that we get the authorization from the trial chamber, the investigations will take place. And given the meaning, the docility of the Nigerian authorities, having a top party, you would agree with me, an objective third party in this instance, the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, takes steps. That was far much more better result than Nigerian authorities who, over the years, they saw a lot of progress in stopping the abduction. So we have nothing to lose at all, if I can say that.
Has Serap taken any other matters or petitioned the ICC on other matters concerning the country? Have you done that in the past, or are there other matters you intend to bring before the ICC?
We've done this in the past, but we've never been able to scale through the text of it, which is what we've been able, which is what the prosecutor has used with. So when you submit a complaint for the ICC, you get an acknowledgement of the complaint that's been looked into. But this is the first time that we have a response that we take the test order and that we think to apply to the pretrial chamber to get authorization. So this is the first time that we've progressed this way so far.
What were the challenges with the previous petitions before the ICC? What were the challenges with your previous petitions before the ICC?
Basically, like I said, the prosecutor determines on the first instance whether your complaint is worthy of investigation based on the facts that you don't disclose. If he thinks it unworthy of investigation, again, not because he or she doesn't believe your complaint, but if he believes that it's not worthy of investigation, then he does not proceed. So we will not know the specifics of the rules or the defaults that did not make the other complaints progress. But what we do know, given the mechanism of the ICC, that the prosecutor has that discretion in determining what to take forward and what not to. And then that discretion is guided by the views of international conventions, which is basically the practice of evidence in law.
Oh, are there other matters that the Serap intends to bring before the ICC?
I can't think of any, at least not now. I can't think of any.
Lines are still open. Join the conversation 0817 90 30 0002 0817 90 30 0003 and 0817 90 30 0007 are the numbers to call. WhatsApp on 0809 030 6416 and we are live on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. That's facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. Now, talking about what Serap is hoping will happen in this case, one of the things he mentioned was punishment for those who are found wanting. Okay, so how does the ICC punish people exactly? Is it like the regular court? Is there going to be a trial? Do they have jails? Are they going to throw them behind bars maybe for, I don't know, 20, 30 years, or with the option of what's the word now? Is it parole or something? Is that how it works?
To extend the process, it's better if the prosecutor gets the authorization from the pretrial chamber. It sets about the investigation with the help of experts who are in the investigations department. He now brings all the investigations, the outcome of that investigation, for the court in form of a charge, of course, backed by the rules and statutes the charges of those infractions. Don't forget that the Rome statutes are more cover only war crimes, which is the crimes against humanity, genocide, war crimes, and crimes of aggression. So it brings the charges. The evidence before the court, which means they charge that individual or those individuals before the court. And then trial begins. And so the trial is just like the regular trial. Those individuals or individuals will have the right of having their own lawyer who will be appeared before them. The trial goes on. And he or she is found culpable or not guilty, as the case may be. And then found to be the start of their offense. Yeah. Start of their offense, too.
Now, if there's going to be a trial, that means that the ICC has determined that certain individuals have questions to answer. That means those persons have to turn themselves in. That means those persons will probably have to get lawyers to defend themselves at this trial. Does the ICC have the powers? I mean, for example, if the Nigerian state wanted to prosecute a person, I mean, it's easy. You can simply send the police after the person. You can get that person arrested and the person faces a trial. But now, in the event that an individual, state or non-state actor in Nigeria in this case, is unwilling to present themselves to answer questions or even for trial, how does the ICC enforce or ensure that person stands trial?
Yeah, things called warrants under seal. They can be arrested in whatever country they are. And the law enforcement agencies all over the world are under an obligation to apprehend that individual and turn him over to the ICC. Those are some of the procedural steps and the powers that the ICC has to bring people before the court. So it is not a matter of willingness. Once the country is a state party to the Rome Statute, the individual is compelled by law to present, which is why it's not under the arrest and the issue to bring that individual, those individuals, before the court to answer for that. And don't forget, in this instance, it is a trial. So, at the end, before the ICC is not, doesn't necessarily imply the culpability of this, the trial will have to go through. To
determine
whether the
U.S. COVID
or not.
Who effects this warrant of arrest? Is it the ICC or do they use the security agents of the country? Oh, sorry about that. Lost connection with Kolawole Oluwadare. We're trying to reconnect with him right now and hopefully get a few more responses from him before we wrap up this segment of the conversation. Deeply stating, Hard Fact continues shortly.
To the world, we connect you to the vicinity. We are Nigeria Info.
Listen to me, I said this is a real situation and the government has to do something about it. What are you trying to insinuate? All these people looting Nigeria's money?
This is Nigeria Info, in the heart of Nigeria. 92.3. We are Nigeria Info.
A clean surrounding is a collective effort.
Diseases could be avoided
with good hygiene practice. Be more responsible with how you dispose waste products. The environment will be better looking without litter and exposed garbage. We love our city clean. This message is from 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. Colin Wololuwandare of Serap is back on the line. So, Colin, I was asking the question. You said that the ICC can issue an arrest warrant against an individual. So, how is this arrest warrant effected? Does the ICC have a police team that effects arrests, or will they rely on the Nigerian security agents to effect this arrest warrant if there is an arrest warrant issued?
Just like we have the Interpol that works in crimes that are suspected in jurisdiction. The Nigerian authorities will be under an obligation, first and foremost, being a state party, to hand over the individual of such individuals. But if they cannot, or for any reason they are not able to do or not, they are to arrest and hand over, and then the ICC has a recognized mechanism, including the Interpol, to apprehend such persons, or the law enforcement agency, wherever that individual group of persons are, to hand them over to the International Criminal Court to face justice.
All right, now, as far as the investigation is concerned, what's the scope of persons that the ICC can investigate? We're talking about abductions of children and the scale in which it's happening in the country right now. We have the police involved. We've got, as far as agencies that should prevent this from happening or even rescue them when it happens, we've got the Nigerian armed forces with the military is involved. And, of course, we've got one person who is overseeing the affairs of all of these agencies, the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, the President himself. Is he also going to be investigated in this matter?
I said the prosecutor determines largely the technicalities and the details of who or those you believe intend to speak with as part of this investigation. But the larger framework is usually around the crime itself, the perpetrators of the crime, and those who are public officials who have the duty at various levels. Not everyone, those who are the responsibility at various levels, to prevent the crime until apprehend the perpetrators. And then the victims themselves and other skills we can get from as many people as possible to establish that there has been crimes against humanity. But like I said, the details of how we're going to do that is more or less a discretion. But at least that is the general outline. And the general outline that we've seen from the Rome Statute and from President Obama.
But can the ICC investigate the president, for example?
Like I said, they have to presume that individuals, non-state actors and state actors that they think based on the complaint, either are perpetrators or have significant control or state power to have prevented or to apprehend perpetrators.
So what I'm asking is, the president, for example, and pardon me, but I have to focus on this for a while, does the president enjoy immunity? Can he be, whether of Nigeria or any other country for that matter, can a sitting president be investigated by the ICC on any matter?
In this instance, we are at the stage of investigation, which is the prosecutor getting authorization from the pre-trial team. Investigation, of course, can be ongoing against the president if the case gets to that. But the peculiarities of trial did not necessarily make that either feasible within the pendency of that administration. But we've seen a precedent that happened in other countries that can always, there is no statute of limitation, the Rome Statute, against the four crimes that the ICC has jurisdiction over. So time does not stop the wrong. It means individuals or group of people can ultimately answer after 10, 15, 20 years. A time does not wrong.
On that note, we have to wrap up the conversation. Many thanks for joining in, especially my guest, Kola Oluwadare, Deputy Director with Serap. He joined me via phone. Kola, many thanks for your time. Wish Serap the very best. Wish, by extension, wish Nigeria the very best. And hopefully, the victims of these abductions in different parts of the country, especially the North, will get justice and these abductions will come to an end. Thanks for your time once again.